Shalom and welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms, a daily Bible reading podcast that goes through the whole Bible in a year. We follow along with the weekly Torah portions and read daily from the Torah, the prophets, the writings, and the apostles. If you want to learn more about the podcast or connect with us online, find us at dailybreadmoms.com. There you'll find information about the journal. That's the Bible reading plan that we use, which Bible translation we use, and how to contact us. You'll also see information about how you can support the podcast by becoming a patron and how we can connect with you more. We've got some new things for our sweet patrons and are excited to let you hear from us in more ways beyond the daily Bible readings. So find us at dailybreadmoms.com. We look forward to connecting with you. Let's get to our podcast episode for today.
My name is Sarah Ruth, and I'll be your reader today. Today is Friday, March 29th. And it's the 19th of Adar 2 on the Hebrew calendar. Our parashah today is called Saf, which means command. And our reading from the Torah is going to be Leviticus, chapter 8, verses 14 through 21. As always, let us take a moment to bless God and thank Him for His word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to his people Israel and to all peoples through his Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. Then he brought the bowl of the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bowl of the sin offering. Moses then slaughtered it, took the blood and dabbed it into the horns of the altar with his finger, and so purified the altar. Then he poured out the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make atonement for it. He then took all the fat that was on the innards, the cover of the liver, and the two kidneys and their fat, and burned it up as smoke on the altar. But the bull and its hide, its flesh, and its dung he burned with fire outside the camp, as the Lord had commanded. He then presented the ram of the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. Then Moses slaughtered it and splashed the blood around on the altar. After he cut the ram into its pieces, Moses burned the head, the pieces, and the fat. He washed the innards and the legs with water. Then Moses burned the whole ram up in smoke on the altar. It was a burnt offering for a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And this concludes our readings in the Torah. Our next reading is going to be in the prophets, and we're going to read from Isaiah today. Today we're going to read two chapters, chapter 15 and chapter 16. In Isaiah. The burden of Moab. For in the night that Ar is devastated, Moab is ruined. For in the night that Kir is devastated, Moab is ruined. He has gone up to the shrine, to Dibon, to the high places to weep. Moab wails over Nebo and Medeba. Every head is bald, every beard shaven. In their streets they wear sackcloth, on their housetops and in their plazas. Everyone wails, weeping profusely. Heshbon and Elealeh cry out. Their voice is heard as far as Jahaz. Therefore the soldiers of Moab cry aloud. His soul faints within him. My heart cries out for Moab. Her fugitives are as far as Zoar, as a three-year-old heifer, for by the ascent of Luhith they go up with weeping. From the way of Horonaim, They raise a cry of distress. The waters of Nimrim are desolate. The grass is withered away. The new grass withers. There is nothing green. Therefore, the riches they had gotten, and whatever they have stored, they carried over the Wadi of Willows. For the cry has gone around the borders of Moab, the wailing of Eglaim, and the wailing of Beer Elim. For the waters of Dimon are full of blood. But I will bring on Dimon even more, a lion for those escaping from Moab, and for those remaining in the land. Send lambs to the ruler of the land, from Selah in the desert to the mountains of the daughter of Zion. For like fluttering birds scattered from a nest, so will the daughters of Moab be at the fords of Arnon. Give counsel, execute justice, cast your shadow like night at noonday. Hide the refugees. Do not betray the fugitive. Let my refugees stay with you. Be for Moab a hiding place from the face of the destroyer, for the extortion is at an end. Devastation ceases. Oppressors are gone from the land. A throne will be established in mercy, and one will sit on it in truth, in the tent of David, one who seeks justice and is ready for righteousness. We have heard of the pride of Moab. Very proud is he, of his haughtiness, his arrogance, his insolence, and his dishonest boasting. Therefore, Moab will wail for Moab. Everyone will wail. For the sweet cakes of Kir Hareseth, you will moan, utterly stricken. For the fields of Heshbon have withered, as well as the vine of Sibmah. Rulers of nations have trampled the choice clusters that reached as far as Jazer into the desert. Its branches spread out and crossed to the sea. Therefore, I will weep bitterly for Jazer, for the vine of Sibmah. I will drench you with my tears, O Heshbon and Eleahelah. For on your summer and your harvest, the battle cry has fallen. Gladness and joy are taken away from the fruitful field. In the vineyards, no singing for joy, no happy shouting, no treading wine in the presses. I have made the shouting stop. Therefore, my heart moans for Moab like a lyre, and my inward part for Kir Hareseth. So it will be when Moab is weary upon the high place and comes to his sanctuary to pray. It will do him no good. This is the word that the Lord spoke concerning Moab in the past, but now the Lord has spoken, saying, within 3 years, as with the years of a hired worker, the glory of Moab will be disgraced, for all his large population, the remnant, will be very small and feeble. And that finishes our readings in the prophets. Next, we read from the writings, and today's reading is from Proverbs. We're going to read chapter 2. My son, if you accept my words and treasure my mitzvot within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to discernment, yes, if you call out for insight, lifting up your voice for discernment, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will know the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. He guards the paths of justice and protects the way of his kiddushim. Then you will discern what is right and just and fair, every good path, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Discernment will guard you to deliver you from the way of evil. from those speaking perverse things, to leave the straight paths, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing wrong and delight in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and are devious in their ways, to deliver you from a seducing woman, a wayward wife with seductive words, who forsakes the partner of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her tracks to the dead. None who go to her return, nor reach the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will dwell in the land and blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the treacherous uprooted from it. That finishes our readings in the writings. Our last portion for today comes from the apostles. And we are reading in Acts chapter 19. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul traveled through the upper region and came to Ephesus. He found some disciples and said to them, "Did you receive the Ruach HaKodesh when you believed?" They replied to him, "No, we've never even heard that there is a Ruach HaKodesh." He said, "Into what were you immersed?" They said, "Into John's immersion." Paul said, "John immersed with an immersion of repentance, telling the people that they should believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Yeshua." When they heard this, they were immersed in the name of the Lord Yeshua. And when Paul laid hands upon them, the Ruach HaKodesh came upon them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. In all, there were about 12 men. Paul went into the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, debating and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when they were hardening and refusing to believe, speaking evil of the way before the whole group, he withdrew from them, taking the disciples with him, debating daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, Jewish as well as Greek people. God was doing extraordinary miracles by Paul's hand, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that touched his skin were brought to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. But some traveling Jewish exorcists also tried to invoke the name of the Lord Yeshua, saying, "I charge you by the Yeshua whom Paul preaches." 7 sons of a Jewish ruling Kohen named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, "I know Yeshua, and I know Paul, but who are you?" Then the man with the evil spirit sprang at them, subduing and overpowering all of them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known to all who lived in Ephesus, both Jewish and Greek people. Fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Yeshua was being magnified. Many also of those who had believed came confessing and recounting their practices. And many of those who practiced magic arts brought their books together in a heap, burning them before everyone. They totaled the value of the books and found it to be about 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord was growing in power and prevailing. Now, after these things were accomplished, Paul resolved in the Ruach to go to Jerusalem after passing through Macedonia and Achaia, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." So after sending 2 who were assisting him, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. Around that time, there arose no small uproar concerning the way. For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith, a maker of silver shrines of Artemis, was providing no small amount of business to the craftsmen. He gathered these together, along with those of related occupations, and he said, "Men, You know that our wealth is from this business. You see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but also throughout all Asia, Paul has persuaded and perverted a considerable crowd, saying that handmade gods are not gods at all. Not only is there a danger that this trade of ours might come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis might be considered as nothing. She whom all Asia and the world worships might even be thrown down from her majesty. When they heard, they were filled with fury and began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" The city was filled with confusion. They rushed into the theater, dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians who were travel companions of Paul. Paul was wishing to enter among the crowd, but the disciples would not let him. Some of the chiefs of Asia, being his friends, sent to him and begged him not to surrender himself into the theater. Now some cried out one thing, some another, for the assembly was in confusion. Most did not know why they had come together. Some of the crowd solicited Alexander, whom the Jewish people put forward. Alexander motioned with his hand. He wished to offer a defense to the crowd, but recognizing that he was Jewish, for about 2 hours they all, with one voice, cried out, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" After the town clerk quieted the crowd, he said, "Men of Ephesus, what man is there who doesn't know that the city of the Ephesians is a temple keeper of the great Artemis and of her image fallen from heaven? Since these things are undeniable, you must be calm and do nothing reckless, for you have brought these men here who are neither sacrilegious nor revilers of our goddess. If Demetrius and the craftsmen with him have a complaint against anyone, the courts are open, and there are proconsuls. Let them accuse them. But if you seek anything further, it will be settled in the lawful assembly. For we are in danger of being charged with rioting today, there being no reason which we are able to give to justify this mob." Upon saying this, he dismissed the assembly. And that, friends, concludes our readings today. As always, if you're reading through the apostolic writings twice in this annual cycle, you also want to read Revelation 13. I'm Sarah Ruth, reading for Daily Bread for Busy Moms. Shalom, until next time.